job. Way to go, aliens. Way to go, aliens. How many of y'all just know that it's about the kingdom for the aliens, huh? Huh? Because we were all once aliens. That means that they didn't know who we were. We were not grafted in yet until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, we got grafted in. Amen. The grafting means you're getting put together, becoming one. And that's what he did for us. So what I want you to do is I want you to graft somebody. I want you to get and embrace somebody right now and tell them that you love them. See, it's easy to go to the people you know, but go to someone you don't know.
The perfect love. That perfect love means it's unconditional. Glory, 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 glory. Love, real hugs. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, come on. You might have to work. That's not a one. Everybody says it's a love bug, it's a love hug. Come on. Hallelujah. Go ahead and press record and both y'all come on out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. God is love. God is my friend. He is your friend. Come on, come on. Y'all are more willing to let someone pump and prime you to give, but to pump and prime you to love? Come on now. Love. It's about the love. It's about the love. Yes, it's about the love. All you greeters, sit down. Just come on and sit down. We don't need to crowd the door. If they're coming in, they're coming in. And when they walk in, you just tackle them with love. Amen? Just tackle them with love. It's football season. They should be ready for it. That's it. Come on. It's about love. Always been about love. I want everybody that's working to sit down. I don't want no one standing. I want no one going to the doors. I want you to sit down. I feel, and I said it Wednesday night. Wednesday, I had a glimpse, and without y'all getting all freaking kooky on me, I saw an angel appear in the room at a glimpse, and then I said, God, I saw it. And whatever you have in store, one thing that I read in Scripture, watch this. What I read in the Bible says that every time the angel of the Lord showed up, a messenger, when the messenger would show up, he would stir the waters. And as the waters begin to stir, anyone, watch this, that would get in would be healed. I said, oh, stir the waters. No, no, let me stir you up. You get in. You get in. We have sat in churches too long and said, I didn't feel it today. That's on you. The first thing out of your mouth was, I. The Spirit of God is everywhere. Everywhere. Guess what? He is in all kinds of denominations too. He's there. So why are we saying, well, I didn't feel it. That church is dead. No, that church ain't dead. It's alive. Because he's there. And wherever the presence of the Lord is, he is bringing the fruitfulness of what he wants to do. But we get caught up in all the way it has to look. Baby, we got to get ourselves a new church, and it's got to have a cross on the very top. It's got to have a pinnacle so everybody can see it's that type of church. We got to have stained glass windows so it's that type of church. How about we have Jesus so that we have the real church? When we do that, we're building upon the rock. And that rock is Jesus. That rock is Jesus. You can't tell me that it's got to look a certain way in order to have Jesus. Matter of fact, when they came to arrest Jesus, they didn't know who he was. Oh, let me just get into that. Because they said, well, how will... Hey, how are we going to know that that's Jesus? He says, it's the one that I go up to and kiss on the cheek. They're missing it. Come on, Judas. Come on, Judas. When they saw that, they knew that was Jesus. Yes, we're called to be set out in a crowd. But every now and then, God says, if you could just be you, and let me be you. When people see you, they'll really see me. But we've gotten so far off from that, we want everybody, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And eyes have been taken off of Jesus and be put on us. The church has never been about how we look, how we dress, how we sound, how we pray, how we dance, how we sing, whether we run around, whether we lay on the ground. It's always been about Him. Will you see Him in me? That's what church is about. And guess what? It's not in these four walls. If I was to say, will the church rise up, guess who needs to stand up? You. Not the church buildings and church congregations, but the people of God stand and stand for what they believe. What do they believe? That Jesus is the Son of God. And He tells us, just give me one day. Just one. And that one day, give it to me. He didn't say, give me that 1 hour. Give me that 2 hours. Some of us in the house of man have a tendency to go about 3 or 4 hours. He didn't even ask that. He just said, just give me the day. Give me the day. And the day doesn't mean that you've got to be in prayer 24 hours of the day. That day means it's holy, sanctified, separated from unto Him, meaning that whatever you speak, God, yes, I'm listening, I'm listening, I'm listening. Yeah, I will do as you say to do. And what are you calling me to do, God? I'm lost in the midst of trying to find out what I'm supposed to do. Will you speak to me? He says, I've been speaking to you, but you don't want to listen because you've taken your eyes off of me and you put it on yourself. You've been so reliant on everything else in this world but me. I said, Lord, when I saw that angel, I knew you were about to do something. And I waited. And for some of y'all have a hard time with, well, there's angels. There's angels all over this place waiting for you to speak the word and for Him to create an atmosphere for you. Whether you shout and dance, cry, holler, scream, kick and throw tantrums, it don't matter. They're here waiting. Waiting. And I want to tell you one thing, that the angels of God come to you at the time of your need. But the trick of the enemy is to get you to be silent and to quit. Just quit. Quit. How can you quit God if He never quit you? How can you quit God when He comes to you? Regardless when you mess up, and the fact right before you're about to really mess up, He's right there. And you feel that nudging right in the pit of your stomach saying, you really don't want to do that. And then you go ahead and do it anyhow. He's still right there. I said, God, how do you still show up when we've messed up? So that I can get you up. When you go down, I go down with you. So that you're not alone where you're at. He says, I'm going to bring miracles. Answer prayers. So that you have a testimony of my goodness. Even when you don't know how to pray. When you don't know what to do. Now, I'm going to just say this. Even when you don't know how to follow along in a prayer that they taught you while you were in catechism. It doesn't matter. It all comes from the heart. If your heart is really inclined to Jesus, really inclined, then He comes to you. I began doing this series that the act of giving is love. The act of giving is love. Sometimes I get my messages on a very unconditional way. See, the kids and I bought my wife a Christmas gift. It's kind of caveating to what you said. We, the kids, wanted to get something for Mama. Oh, this looks good. Let's get this. Oh, this looks good. Let's get that. We ordered it online. We picked it out. And then we had it delivered to the house. And then we didn't see it, right, Hannah? We didn't see it for a while. And I began to question, God, did I miss it? Did I not know what to get my wife? I thought that by putting the things together for my wife, she would enjoy it. That's what she wanted. That's when the Lord quickened me. We were at the mall yesterday. There was a change that took place just yesterday alone. Hear me. Something that normally would never be done was done. We made a change. And when we made a change, we actually let go. And we started trusting God on one of our babies. But while we were there at the mall, we went into the store where we had ordered this Christmas gift. And I sat back watching my wife, and I'd leave the store and just look from the outside watching her. And she'd call me back, come here, come here. Y'all know me, I like to shop, so don't get that twisted. I like to shop. So I go back out again, and she's like looking for me. Come here. And the whole time I'm just watching her so I could see her excitement in getting what she wants as she picks it out. But then involves me in the process. Are you hearing me? But she's getting what she wants and what she's desired. And she's picking it out, hand-picking it out, and putting it together with her own hands. But she's involving me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And this is what the Lord said. When you yourself think that you've got it together, sometimes you miss. But I'll always bring it back to what the real desire is, and I'll be there with you in the selection process. I may watch from afar, but I know that what you're selecting, you're still asking, is this the right one? Is this what I should do? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And as you're asking that, I may be at a distance, but I hear you. And sometimes you don't understand how you're going to make it through, whether you missed. But at the very end of the process, the smile on your face lets Him know that you made the right choice. Because the heart of the Father is to let you know that He desires to see you happy. He desires for you to get what you desire. The Bible says that He puts the desires in your heart. As she began to select what she wanted, I start getting very prophetic on things, guys. Because in everything, God is speaking. In everything. Don't miss it. In every little detail, God is speaking if we will listen. If we will listen. Will you stand? And remember what? Will you tell them what this is, Inez?
Sorry? just so happy. Four.
How many are on the other side? It's a watch. And on this watch, you're able to add to the links, if you would. And that's what she was picking out. What is in the middle are 12s. 12 is perfect government. On the right, there's 4. And then on the left, there's 4. For 8, for a new beginning. Silver is used for redemption. And I was trying to get out of the store and watch her and watch what the Spirit was doing and guiding. Then I began to look at the colors. I said, God, you're speaking even in the colors. The colors represent the month. These are the birth stones. I said, God, I know that what you're doing is something that will make her always look back and look at the gifts that were given, which were the seed that you presented to her, because you gave to her in love. You gave her her seed. And each child was a child that you gave to her. And as she felt like time was running out, he says, I have watched this from the beginning. And I have seen your travail. I have seen where your heart is. And I have seen that everything that you do in life is for your children. And I began to watch. And as she was picking and going through, she would ask me, what do you think? Well, I don't like that, but it's, you know, whatever you want. And then when she got it, she says, I like it. I said, baby, I really like that. And I felt God so strong. I may talk a lot here, but if some of y'all that know me, I don't talk much. If you ever got me on a text or an email, you get one line. It's a one-liner Joe right here. That's it. But I knew what God was saying to us. And you got to understand something. It's been tough for your pastors. This isn't anything. I'm going somewhere. It has been tough. I said, God, I don't understand. And I know our family members cry out. And some of our leaders cry. But when I had a chance to really look at this, will you tell me what is on the very top where the number 12 is?
That's the heart.
The heart. I asked her to select whatever she wanted. Here it is. Get whatever you want. And I knew that God was going to speak, and I just didn't know how. But when I felt His presence, I began to back away and just kind of take notice. What are you doing? Since the art of giving is always from my heart. It's about my perfected government. And everything that you do will have a new beginning. And when it's time, it's time. And I knew something was about to shift, something was about to change. I may not see it manifested be right now, but I know something's here. I know it. Not because of a silly watch, but there's too much symbolism. What I hear in the Word that tells me it's my time. It's your time. It's your time. You know it is because you can feel the difference now. You feel the stirring that has taken place even within you. That a praise has to come out of your mouth because you know it's already happening. You know it's already progressing. You know it's already on its way. You know you're on the verge of your crossing over to what God has promised you. What you have labored for, what you have continued to pray for. God, this is not in vain. God, I'm doing this because I desire what I've asked you. But you've given me insight and you've given me wisdom and revelation. And I will make that choice to live in this manner and do things in this manner so I can teach people the same that you taught me. The revelation that you have given me, I give to them. God, I will not hide anything. I will not keep it for myself. I will teach. I will raise up. I will mother. I will shelter. And I will encourage them to know that there is healing that you have given, not just to one, but to all. He said, I will do it, God, if you will do it for me. But he's showing you that I will show you the process in which to do it. For when he bent down and he grabbed from the dust of this earth and he put it on the blind man's eyes, he said, I have given your healing that will come from the ground. I will give you the healing that will come from the soil. And as it comes up out of the soil, you will see clearly, beloved. You will have revelation knowledge. I'm doing a work inside of you that is greater, that is in you, that you've ever imagined. You see it, you feel it, you struggle, but God says, I'm with you even in this time. I'm doing a great work inside of you. I have restructured your DNA. I have restructured everything in your blood. I have removed what the enemy has placed. And I have brought healing unto you. And the healing is not just for you. You are a representation of the bride. And I bring healing to my bride. For it is time. It is time, says the Spirit of God. It is the new beginning. Where my heart is always at the top for my people. And it revolves around my heart. It is the heart of worship. It is the heart that God says, I will do what I said I will do. I had compassion on my people, and I bring healing in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. You're worthy, Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy, Jesus. You have tarried, you have waited, and you have waited. Though it tarry, wait. For in due time, says the Spirit of God, in due time you shall see your harvest. It is time. It is time. It is time for my redemptive power to come forth and my redeeming glory to come forth for my people, says God. It is my redeeming power that has been given unto you to redeem you of your hurts, redeem you of your past, and redeem you of your now, to take you into your prophetic future and let you know that I have ordered you to come on up and come out. Birthing pains, and in these birthing pains, it has been difficult. These birthing pains have made you feel like you can't endure it anymore. But these birthing pains are multiple pains that are going to be for multiple births. It's not just one for your healing. It'll be for the healing of a nation. It'll be for a healing of a children. It'll be for a healing of children that are to come. I declare unto you that your seed and your seeding seed shall be blessed. That they shall not live in lack, they shall not live without. You have gone before and crossed over to a place that I have called the land of Canaan, where your promise is overflowing. Your blessing is bigger than you've ever imagined. And I have driven out the inhabitants of the land on your behalf. And I drive it out of the body right now in Jesus' mighty name. I take authority of all the minerals and all the metals right now in the blood, and I call it out in Jesus' mighty name. I call out the oil right now, Lord, to be the balm of Gilead from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. God, I declare right now that all the metals in her blood right now be destroyed and removed, Father, that is not of you. And I thank you, God, for the transformation that is taking place right now. In Jesus' mighty name. And if there's ever been an infection in the body of Christ, Lord, let you, Father God, come in and remove every infection right now. That you, oh God, will drive it out. You'll drive it out. You'll drive it out. And Lord, I thank you for the release, oh God. The renewing and the new birth of every cell, Father God, that has been damaged, Lord. God, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Waters are stirring. Do you feel it stirring in you? If you don't feel it, this is what you do. You declare it and you speak right now. Stir me up, God. Stir me up. Don't let me sit through another service and leave you the same. Stir me up, God. I challenge you and I exhort you. The exhortation comes from the messenger of God to extort you into a place where God can meet you and make change. He wants to make change in your life. Will you let Him? Will you? Don't think you got it all together. Don't. The enemy twists things from the very beginning. God gave out of His love when He created Adam and Eve, and He gave them to the garden. He gave them to the garden. Hear me. When He gave Adam and Eve to the garden, He already had what was rightfully theirs and all their resources already there. Do you hear me? He gave Adam and Eve to the garden, and then He had Adam and Eve take dominion over it. Don't miss this. This is going to help you. All the resources that you ever need, He's placed you right in it. He's also given you dominion over it. But the enemy has twisted the truth and has made you feel like you've messed up, and it's caused you to hide from God. When I ask God, where are we at as a body? He says, go to my beginning. Go to my beginning and I'll show you what the trick of the enemy has always been. It's to twist truth. And by twisting truth, you'll never get the whole truth. And it requires the whole truth to take root to produce your harvest. So when you only read a little section of the Bible, you're not getting what God is saying. You've only may have gotten the shell of the seed and you think you're about to produce a harvest, but the shell never produces a harvest. Only what's inside, which is the seed. What part of the egg is the egg? No, the whole thing. The whole thing is the egg. Was it the egg white is the egg? It's the same thing as the yolk. It's the same thing as the shell. But let's not forget that little slimy stuff that doesn't ever leave, never drips out, because it stays there. That's the egg too. Let's not forget the different colorations of the egg. That's the egg. And I can simply say that that's how God is. He's the yolk, He's the white, and He's the shell. He's all of that. But when you get into the Word and only want to read just a little bit of the Word, and you don't want to eat of the whole thing, and quick to just quote just one little section and not understand who the writer is writing to, and why he's writing to the writers about this, this is for you, and for this reason why I'm writing this to you. Understand why the letter is written, and to whom it is written, and where they were at when it was written to them. To have an understanding of the Word. That's why growing up as a Catholic, they tell me, you don't want to read the Word because it's going to confuse you. It's true. Read it. Everybody says, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. You're reading it as a book, and that's why it becomes contradictory. But if you read it as letters to whom it was sent, you begin to understand it's writing to a people. But He gave to us the Word. Out of His love. What was that love? He gave His Son. His Son. When He gave His Son to this world, it was a representation that we needed the real seed. That's Jesus Christ. How many of you have children? Raise your hand. That's your seed. That's your seed. Do you not watch it grow? And for those that don't have children, how many have animals? Raise your hand. That's your children. But they didn't come from my loins, but you got to feed them. Y'all don't think this is for real? Before I went to bed last night, I had my kitty cat with me, studying. My kitty cat. And I can say mine because none of my family claim it but me. As I'm reading my Bible, here's my cat looking at me, purring, just laying there still. Just, she knows, don't disturb me. She's just laying there. So I get ready for bed, and I come back, and I'm getting in bed, and here comes my wife, and I'm reading, but my kitty cat's gone. And all of a sudden, I hear some cats fighting outside. I look at my wife, did you let the cat out? I don't know. Did you open the door or did not open the door? I don't remember, because she was asleep downstairs. So I get up. Watch this. I get up out of my rest. To go and look for the one that is mine. Hear me. Hear me. Not only do I go to the front, but I also go to the back. You can't look for something in the dark if you can't see, so the light must be turned on. I paced back and forth. I went front door, went back door. If you would have watched me last night, you'd have been laughing at me. Front, back, front, middle, like, Lord, you've got to protect this cat. She's been bit by a rattlesnake twice. She's been kicked or hit or something that destroyed her nostrils. She was thrown around as a kitten from her tail, thrown up, getting rocks thrown at it. But she survived, and I believe that God allowed her to be my cat. It was a representation to me that God says, even though you've been kicked, even though you've been beaten up, even though you've been bit by a viper, you've been bit and bit and bit, I saved you. So I slept, and the first thing in the morning I did, I went right at 5 o'clock in the morning, front door, back door, front door, back door. I was troubled, and I've got children. My mom will be the first to tell you how I am about animals. I brought so many home. I ain't feel peace until I got a text this morning. Your cat is home and she's safe. Watch. And then she says, and it doesn't look like she got into a fight. I felt the Holy Ghost when I read it. My answered prayer. Mine. That's mine. You know, they say cats have 9 lives. Well, this one probably went through 18. She can't count, I guess. I don't know. But what I'm trying to tell you is that if God will leave the flock, to go get the one that's straight. The one. Oh, you gotta hear this. The one that's straight is the one that felt like they had it together. The one that's straight had all the answers. I can do this on my own. Jeez, I'm going somewhere. And it left the host. And when it left, the depiction of the Father is that the Father, as the shepherd, left seeking the one that left. Have you ever felt like you've been isolated? Where something's kind of pulled you away? And as it pulls you away, and pulls you away, and pulls you away, you start to feel like you can't find God no more. For those that have children, how many times do you watch your children when they were little and you tell them, don't go too far, I got to be able to see you. Don't get lost in a supermarket, because that supermarket all of a sudden becomes the world all in one place where you're looking and searching for your child that has stepped away too far from you. Are you hearing me? Things begin to get bigger and bigger when you're further and further away from God. But if you get back into position with God, He can show you from an altitude where you weren't. And really how big or how small that problem really was. You weren't feeling alone from me. You were feeling isolated by the enemy. And I waited here for you, and I waited here for you, and I waited here for you. Until you couldn't hear me no more, I came to you. And when I came to you, I embraced you. And when I embraced you, I made change. I made change in your heart. Here's the thing that happens though. As people, sometimes we're afraid to be embraced because we're afraid of the motive, or because we've never been embraced. Have you ever felt like you're far away from God? You'll leave the flock to go get the one. I want to read this from Ezekiel. You can get your Bibles. I'm going to close this up. I want to pray for some people. But out of the Message Bible, this is Ezekiel 34. I'll wait for you if you're going to go there. I'll begin reading at verse 1. Ezekiel 34. In verse 1, you can keep playing, sir. God's message came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherd leaders of Israel. Yes, prophesy. Tell those shepherds, God the Master says, doom to you shepherds of Israel, feeding your own mouths. Aren't shepherds supposed to feed the sheep? You drink the milk, you make clothes from the wool, you roast the lambs, but you don't feed the sheep. You don't build up the weak ones. You don't heal the sick. Don't doctor the injured. Don't go after the strays. Don't look for the lost. You bully and badger them. And now they're scattered every which way because there was no shepherd. Scattered and easy picking for the wolves and coyotes. Scattered, my sheep, exposed and vulnerable across the mountains and hills. My sheep scattered all over the world. And no one out looking for them. Therefore, shepherds, listen to the message of God. As sure as I am living, God, decree of God. The Master, because my sheep have been turned into mere prey, into easy meals for wolves, because you shepherds ignored them and only feed yourselves. Listen to what God has to say. Watch out. I'm coming down on the shepherds. and taking my sheep back. They're fired as shepherds of my sheep, no more shepherds who just feed themselves. I'll rescue my sheep from their greed. They're not going to feed off my sheep any longer. God the Master says, from now on, I myself am the shepherd. I'm going looking for them. As the shepherds go after their flocks, when they get scattered, I'm going after my sheep. I'll rescue them from the places they have been scattered to into the storms. I'll bring them back from foreign peoples, gather them from foreign countries, and bring them back to their home country. I'll feed them on the mountains of Israel. I'll feed them on the mountains of Israel, along the streams, among their own people. I'll lead them into lush pastures so they can roam the mountain pastures of Israel, graze at leisure, feed in the rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. And I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make sure they got plenty of rest. I'll go after the lost. I'll collect the strays. I'll doctor the injured. I'll build up the weak ones and oversee the strong ones so they're not exploited. If you would, please go down to verse 25. I'll make a covenant of peace with them. I'll banish fierce animals from the country, so that the sheep can live safely in the wilderness, say in the wilderness, and sleep in the forest. I'll make them and everything around my hill a blessing. I'll send down plenty of rain in season, showers of blessings. The trees in the orchards will bear fruit. The ground will produce. They'll feel content and safe on their land. And they will realize that I am God when I break them out of their slavery and rescue them from the slave masters. No longer will they be exploited by outsiders or ravaged by fierce beasts. They'll live safe and sound, fearless and free. I'll give them rich gardens, lavish in vegetables, say vegetables. No more living half-starved, no longer taunted by outsiders. They'll know beyond doubting that I, God, am their God, that I am with them, and that they, the people Israel, are my people. Decree of God the Master, you are my dear flock, the flock of my pasture, my human flock, and I am your God. Decree of God the Master. This is a word from the Lord that I believe that God has been speaking to me about. I'm giving back to my sheep, but I've got to gather those that have strayed away. I've got to bring them back into my presence and back into the fold. The enemy has separated them, has alienated them, and kept them away from the real presence of God. There's been a false deity in the land, and that false deity is beginning to make people look upon that deity, and it's not God. Many want to see many signs and wonders, but God says, if you can't discern between truth and the false, you will be strayed. In this very hour, we need to have a discerning spirit to know when God is moving, when God is speaking, and what He's telling us to do. You may not like it, but He's not asking your permission. He's not asking what you feel or what you think. He very plainly says that your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. What I do is based upon the outcome of the glory of God for my people and for the kingdom of God. But when the enemy has come in like a flood, I have raised up a standard, which is my seed, which is Jesus Christ, that will bring you up out of that trench, bring you up out of that flood that's trying to take you out. And one of the things that is trying to take the people of God out is called fatigue, being tired, being sleepy, and getting to the point that I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it, and I'll only give you a little bit of time on Sunday. Stay up all hours of the night on Saturday, do what I want to do, act the way I want to act, but on Sunday, I've got this act down. I'll just be acting like I'm in church. Come on, somebody. Y'all ain't not even responding like I'm preaching. But what I know, what I'm telling you, he's tired of looking at a people that don't know how to give their heart to God. They only want to play with some things that are in their hands. And what is in their hands, God didn't give. They made it upon themselves to do it. And God says, if you continue to go down this path, I may have to pick you up, carry you on my shoulders, but let's not forget the rest of how these shepherds shepherd. He uses the analogy of a shepherd and the sheep. The sheep are not all that bright. They need someone to teach them. They need someone to show them where to go. They need someone to show them how to walk. Need someone to show them how to gather. They need someone to show them how to pray, how to eat of the word, how to eat of the green grass. But in the midst of that fold, you got some goats. You got some goats that have a tendency to prod somebody with their horns, and they just trample on all the grass, and you're eating the grass that's been trampled on. You ain't hearing me. When you come against a rebellious spirit within the fold, it's trampling on the word of God. And when you begin to eat on the word of God, they're coming against the spirit in which it's given. It's been given out of love. But if you don't understand that someone else has been trotting upon the grass that you're eating, you're going to eat something that's dirty and it's not good for you. You got to understand that God said, I'm leading you out of a place to lead you to a place that you can eat of the good grass. You can drink of the clean water. But when you start drinking of the clean water, here comes those pesky little goats again. They get right in there and they stick their hoofs all in that water and they get it all muddy. So that when you begin to drink of the water that God says you'll thirst no more, some of you are getting some dirt inside of you because some people are just messing with the water. But you don't have the discernment enough to see that that ain't God. It's a spirit that opposes God. When I'm trying to tell you that God is trying to get you what He promised you in the very beginning. I promise you that I will lead you, I will guide you, I will drive you to a place that you deserve. And that is to greener pastures. He didn't say you were going to have all the pastures at one time. He didn't say you got to choose where you were going to go. He says, I will lead you. Oh, some of y'all ain't gonna like this. Some of the sheep need to learn to hear their pastor's, their shepherd's voice. Even though he's saying something you don't like, don't mean that you can argue about it. You've got to accept it because God says, line up with my authority. And when you line up to the authority that is over your life, the authority is now in line with God's authority. And when that authority is released into your life, now the authorities have to respond unto you. Oh, you're not hearing me. You're not hearing me. When he released Satan, watch this, from the fold in heaven, he took a third of the angels and cast them out. And they came down and they became rulers in this earth. But when you stay under the authority that God has aligned for you, and under that right authority, you have that dominion over them. Don't get it twisted. He gave me dominion. He gave you dominion over the fruit, the vegetable, the land, and the cattle. It's not till later that after Jesus came, then he gave you authority over demons. You gotta get in line with the Godhead. You gotta get in line with your relationship with God, not this old kind of just religious mindset. Let me just remind you without going to my notes that what happened in the wilderness with the Israelites, it was a testing and a breaking. What was being broken? A slave mentality. When that slave mentality was being broken, come on with me. When you start to get broken in your wilderness experience, it's when God begins to release from heaven the bread of heaven. And when the bread of heaven comes down in your brokenness, he's releasing that to keep you. See, he didn't leave you in your wilderness. He was just breaking off a mindset of what you've been used to. Your wilderness experience is breaking you. And in the brokenness, he's going to help you to understand something. He is the bread of heaven that has been here on earth all along. But you have a responsibility, just like the Israelites, to go out and get it. It didn't get inside their tents. It didn't get inside their tents, their pockets. It fell on the ground. They had to get up and go get it. You know. Woo! In your brokenness is where God can multiply you. You're broken? Have you been broken? Has a relationship gone astray? Has someone hurt your emotions, your feelings, and spoke to you in a way that was not conducive to your growth? That's your brokenness of spirit. Your brokenness of the heart. But in the brokenness, watch this now. Let me just jump on over to the New Testament now. Now, when there was a group of people that followed Jesus for quite some time on the other side of the Jordan, they began to follow Jesus because of the signs and the wonders. And Jesus had compassion on them. He turned around and saw them that they were hungry. But nobody had any money to go buy bread. Nobody had money to go buy food or anything. He had compassion on them. And because he had compassion on them, he looked over to Philip. How much money do you got? What was he addressing at that moment? You don't have anything that can feed all these people. But I'm going to use what you got. And he wasn't talking about money no more because there was no H-E-B. There was no Coco's Bakery either. There was nothing around. Watch this. I'm paraphrasing the story. Y'all can read your own Bible. When he begins to teach them, he told them to sit down in the grass. Could Jesus not have turned the grass into food? Yeah. Could he have not just called upon the angels of God to release manna from heaven once again? But he didn't. Along came a little boy. He went to Long John Silver's. You know, Long John Silver's with those little crispy things that y'all don't know what they are. They're just crispy things. With fish and bread only. Carrying something with him. Mama packed him a lunch. We're going to follow this Jesus. And we're going to go for a little bit. So don't eat everything at one time. Just hold it with you for the right time. Because there's a mother that's been praying. Just hold on to what I give you. Because at the right time, God will take it in His hand. But right now, you got to just keep the little that you got. And know this, at the right time, baby, God is going to call upon you. And when God calls upon you, I know they may not look at you because you're little. They may not think that you're significant. But know this, baby. I want you to come with me and follow me. Because we as mothers and fathers are to teach our children how to follow Jesus. And as we follow Jesus, He may lead us to a mountaintop. And that mountaintop, we're going to see something different. There wasn't a store nearby, but there was a little boy that Mama prepped everything for him. And he took that little lunchbox with him and he said, Mama, can I take a bite? No, baby. It ain't yet time. But I'm hungry. This Jesus preaches a long time. But Mama, can I just get a little piece of the crumb? No, baby. It ain't time yet. I'll tell you when the time is. And a matter of fact, when you'll know it's time, when God calls you up to the front. When they're not even looking at you, they're not paying attention to you, God is going to call you to the front, baby. Well, how is it, Mama, that you know this? Because I believe in Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. He is my God. And I know something about God Himself. He's not going to leave me, nor is He going to forsake me. He's going to help me in times of need. It may be hard right now, but baby, can you just hold on just a little bit longer? Because God's about to call your number. And when He calls your number, He's about to take the little that you got. And He's going to raise it up before God. And He's going to bless it. He's going to multiply it more and above of what you even imagine He's going to do. Because you've been faithful with the little. The little sometimes gets hurtful. The little gets sometimes heavy. God is little, but it's heavy. It's little, and I can't understand it. It's little, but how can I hold on any longer? It's the little things that God is saying, I'm with you, and I'm calling you to the front. And when I call you to the front, it'll be your time. This little boy had to know something that mama said, hold on. And when mama said, don't you open that lunchbox. Don't you do nothing until God calls you. And when God calls you, open up and give it to God, because he's about to multiply it. Don't worry, because even if you give it all to him, you're going to leave with more than what you brought. Jesus took from that little baby boy, give me your lunchbox. Give me your lunchbox. I can imagine the little boy looking over at Jesus and saying, Jesus, I've been carrying this. And mama said, not yet. Mama said, not yet. I'm so hungry. Mama said, not yet. Mama said, not yet. But I would know after a while when is the right time. But not yet. Not yet. And the moment that child looked into the eyes of Jesus, that child knew he had seen his creator for real. And opened up that. Watch this. What does the Bible say? When Jesus came into this world as a child, that they brought gifts unto them. And when they opened up the treasures, it was presented to Jesus. That child was holding everything that would bring the substance for 5,000 people. And at that right time, God is going to take your little and multiply it. It's got to get into the hand of God. It's got to be given at the hand of God. It's got to be given to God. And once God gets it in his hand, he is going to raise it up and bless it. And he's going to break it. And when he breaks it, he doesn't give back to the child. Jesus doesn't go and feed the people like he did in the wilderness. Jesus makes you, the disciples, grab hold of it and go and feed those even in the doubt that you had. He looks now at Philip and says, here, go and give it to the people. There's 5,000, Jesus. What am I about to do with this fish that you just broke in half? But something inside of him said, here, take a little piece. And every piece that was taken, there was one that was added. You don't hear me. Every little piece that was taken, one was added to it. Every little piece that was taken, God added to it. And added, and added. It got to the point that the adding overtook the taking. Because in the very end, you had more than what you started with. Come on, come on, come on. Are you willing to give the little to God? When you give the little, you'll see when he goes ahead and breaks it for you. In that brokenness comes abundance. In the brokenness of your spirit comes a miracle. In the brokenness of your heart comes an abundance of love. Woo! Don't let me get into the symbolisms. Don't let me get there. We'll be here a whole other hour. But I'm trying to tell you one thing. Give him the little that you got. Just the little. He ain't talking about your money. He's talking about your heart. Will you give to him the little that you got? And he will break it. But in the brokenness, he's going to multiply you. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. What we saw in the old, God revealed in the new. What they were doing in the old was preparing a mindset for those that were reading and traversing in the words of God from the Old Testament, that when he gave manna, it rained down. It rained down from heaven the bread of life. And when Jesus came down on this earth, it rained down the bread of heaven just for you. Just for you. But you had a responsibility just like the Israelites. You had to come up out your house, out of the tent, and you had to get to that place. You got to get out your house. You got to get off the internet. You got to get off the computers. You got to get off your phones. Get off your bed. Get out of your house and go see Jesus. When you go see Jesus, he shows up on the scene and he brings about a miracle on your behalf. You're not coming to a church service. You're coming to experience Jesus. Give me an amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you willing to give God your little bit? Your little bit. If you're willing to give God your little bit, now's your time to come up with the little bit that you got And if you've got a little bit of pain in your body, now's the time to come forth. If you got a little bit of something going on in your bloodstream, now's the time to come forth. If you got a little bit going on in your mind right now that you can't see past reality, you're seeing into a part of a supernatural realm that you don't quite understand, and you've made that realm become your reality, and you want to live in that realm much longer to be in Jesus, that's also the little bit that He gave you. Come forth. Come forth so that you can walk in that supernatural realm 24/7. And experience what God wants for His people. In the midst of this, He not only saved the people from perishing out there, but He made them go up to the hill. Then He made them sit down on the grass. We can't even get people to follow Jesus faithfully and to sit down on the chair. I said, God, I know what I want when I get my church built. I want an amphitheater, and I want my seats to be like bleachers made of grass. So that when they sit down, they're sitting down on the grass, and they're going to begin to take of the bread from heaven and begin to apply it for supernatural substances given to their spirits. And that when they sit on the outside, they begin to understand, I don't care how the weather is. I don't care what's going on outside. I'm in your presence. When we can get a people that are hungry, hear me now, are hungry for the belief system that God has given them, you may be able to turn a church like the Muslims have turned the mosque. There's no chairs. You ever seen a mosque? They're on their hands and knees, and they're on their face before what they believe. We can't get Christians to get on their face. We can't get them to get on their knees. We can't even get them to bow gracefully before God. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's a rebuke. It is. We want